Okay. I want to continue with the discussion of mitzvahs from the Sedra. We'll first start with something from this coming week's Sedra, and then if there's time, which I'm sure there'll be in Yitz Hashem, we'll go back to last week's Sedra. The mitzvah from this week's Sedra is the following. Lo sira eshor achicha o eseyo nidachin v'salamtameyem. Don't see your neighbor's ox or his sheep running away, lost, and ignore them. Parshev teshivem l'achicha. Return them to your neighbor. V'imlo karov achicha elecha v'lo yidato. And if the person is not close to you, or you don't know who he is, you find a lost article, you have no idea who owns it, v'asavta v'altok v'secha, then bring it into your home. V'hoya imcha adrosh achicha oso v'hashev oso lo. And you should keep it and guard it until your neighbor comes to get it, and then you should return it to him. V'chein ta'aselech hamoro, so should you do to his donkey, v'chein ta'aselech simlaso, or his garment, v'chein ta'aselech chol avedas achichon, or any other object that he may lose, asher tovad minenu umetzosa, something that is lost to him, and you find, lo suchali salem, you can't ignore this. This is the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, of returning lost articles. Okay, and I want to discuss first the halachic overview. I'm not going to go into all the details of the laws of returning a lost article, but the basics, so you have an idea of what it entails. Then we'll go into some of the more philosophical ideas behind the returning lost articles, and then we'll see some other things that are included that may not be obvious in the beginning, but the rabbis included in this mitzvah too. So we're going to do this in three parts. Okay, the first part is the following. There are three mitzvahs, basically, concerning a lost article. Walking down the street, you see something lost with the conditions that we will enumerate in a little while. The first thing is you can't ignore it. You must take it and try to return it. That's a mitzvah lo sakhe, a negative commandment. Lo suchal lehisalein. You're not allowed to ignore this lost article and just keep walking. Secondly, you have a mitzvah to return it, a positive command, to return the lost article or to make an attempt to return it. You can't guarantee you'll ever return it. You may never find the owner. But the mitzvah is to make the attempt. You have to make the attempt. And then there is a third mitzvah, and that is don't steal it. Don't take it and keep it for yourself. Then you transgress the prohibition of stealing. So there are three mitzvahs that are concerned when you see a lost article. Now some say that you don't transgress the positive commandment until you actually pick the thing up. If you just walk by and ignore it, you only transgress one negative commandment. You're not allowed to ignore it. But you don't transgress the mitzvah of returning it because you didn't pick it up yet. Once you pick it up, right, then you have the mitzvah to return it, and if you don't make an attempt to return it, then you negate that mitzvah. But for all practical purposes, the halacha is that both mitzvahs immediately take effect. You have a negative command not to ignore it, and you have a positive command to return it even before you pick it up. Yeah, well, we're going to go into detail, so hold off, and if you still have a question after we finish the details, fine. Okay, now, this halacha applies even if the owner is not making a positive attempt to try and find this lost article. You still have the mitzvah to return to him, unless he gave up hope and he wrote the article off, which we'll get to in a few minutes. And also, you have the mitzvah to return this lost article even if it's insured, and the insurance company will pay for it. Still, there's a mitzvah to return the article to the person. Okay. Now, let's see some of the details of this. What happens if you pass by in a place that is well guarded, well protected, okay, and you see somebody's article? Now, you're not sure if it's lost, or maybe they left it there and they plan to come back. So if you take it to be the good person to want to now return it, you may be causing this person a terrible loss. Because he left it there with the intention of coming back and getting it. He left it in a very well-guarded place, right, a safe place, basically. And he's going to come back to get his jacket, right? His jacket is hanging on a tree, right, in a secluded place where nobody is going to steal it. And you come by, see the jacket hanging on the tree, and you want to do somebody a favor, so you take it home to return it. Guy comes back, and he can't find his jacket, and he'll never find it again. That's it. So you did him a disservice. So if you find something that very well may be the person left it there on purpose and intends to come back, then you shouldn't touch it. It's not a lost article. You shouldn't touch it, even if you're not sure. Right? Even if you're not sure if the person left it there or not, unless it's obvious that it wasn't left there on purpose. But if it's not obvious, then you should leave it there. If you picked it up and you haven't left the place yet, you can put it back on the tree. If you picked it up and you brought it home or left the place with it, then you can't return it to that place because we're afraid the guy came while you were out of the picture and he saw it wasn't there and he's not going to come back for it anymore. So then you can't leave it there anymore. So then you have to make an attempt to try and find out whose it is and to return it. If you find it in a place that is semi-protected, not completely safe, guarded, but not completely open and vulnerable. So then the halacha is like this. If the thing has some identifying marks on it, where you'll be able to find the owner will be able to claim it if he comes and finds you, then you should take it and return it. Because leaving it there, you may be leaving it for people who will either take it and not return it, or it may get destroyed. It's not in a place that's very safe. It's a place that's open to the elements or whatever. It may get destroyed. So here, it's better to take it if it has some identifying mark. If it doesn't have any identifying mark, then you should leave it there, and hopefully the person will come back and get it. If it's not, if it's a place that's totally open and unprotected, open to the elements, open to people who will not fulfill the mitzvah, open to goyim or whatever, then in all situations you should take it and attempt to return it. Okay, now, these are the conditions that exempt you from fulfilling this mitzvah, from having to bother to make an attempt to return the article. First, it has to be an article that's worth at least a shava pruta. In today's terms, a shava pruta is about 5 agurot, somewhere around that. If it's not worth 5 agurot, then you don't have to return it. Okay? You don't have to get involved with it. And that 5 agurot is determined by what it's worth to the person who lost it, not what it's worth to you. I'll give you an example where something may be worthless to you, but worth a lot to the person who lost it. One shoe. Okay? To you, it's worthless. You can't do anything with one shoe. But to the person who has the other one, right, it's worth a lot of money. So the person, the owner who lost one of his shoes, to him it's worth more than 5 agurot. To you, it may not be worth anything. It's garbage. Now, you can't do anything with one shoe. So you go, and it goes after the one who lost it, not the one who found it. Okay. Now, another thing that would exempt you from doing this, if you know the owner has given up hope of ever finding it. Now, how can you know that? A few different ways. One is, two witnesses heard him say, "Wow, what a loss, forget it, I'm not looking, I give up hope, I'm never going to find this." If he said that, then it's not his anymore. And then you can keep it, even if you know whose it is. Yeah, somebody loses a wallet with $10,000 in it, and it has his identification in it. And he knows that he lost it, and he says, "You know what, forget it, I'll never find it. Probably somebody already took it, and they'll never return it. I give up hope." And you see the wallet right there by his feet, he didn't see it. You can go pick it up and keep it. Now, if he's poor, I don't know what he's doing with $10,000, he's poor, but if he's poor, and this is all the money he has, and you basically are well off, then there's a mitzvah, a lifni meshuas hadin, not halachically, but beyond the letter of the law, to give it back to him. If he's rich and you're poor, then there's no mitzvah to give back to him altogether. You want to be a nice guy, you can't. What? What's the logic? When you were a kid, didn't you used to say, "Finders, keepers, losers, weepers," right? That means, what? Okay. But that means that, logically speaking, someone's ownership on something extends to as long as it's within his possession, and he can do something with it. Really, once he loses it, it's not his anymore. Except the Torah said, since it's your brother, I want you to try and return it to him as long as he hasn't given up hope. Once he's given up hope, he's divorced himself and disassociated himself from the object completely. And then it's not his anymore. If it's not his, right, then if you find it, you can keep it. It's yours. Ownership is determined by the Torah. It's not determined by what used to belong to me, but what now belongs to me. Okay? That's the logic. Okay, let's go on. Another way you can know if the thing has the owner has given up, if it's obvious that it's been lost for a long time. It's rusty. It was somewhere that moss grew on it, right? It's obvious that this thing has been lost for months, years. Obviously, the person then gave up hope of ever finding it if it's been lost so long. Also, it's something that has no identifying marks, and it's something that people know immediately that they lost it. Okay? For instance, money. Money has no identifying mark, because even if you write your name on it, that doesn't mean it's yours, because money changes hands all the time, right? I get dollar bills or shkolim, right, 20 shekel bills, 100 shekel bills with people's writing on it all the time, right? That doesn't make it theirs. Since it changes hands, the fact that they have somebody's name on it doesn't mean it's theirs. So there's no, what? Yeah, that's a different thing. That could be a sin, right? But if it's something just on the bill itself, is meaningless, and therefore it has no identifying mark, and money is something that people know right away if they lost it, because people usually check their wallets every once in a while to see if they still have their money, right? They feel in their pocket to make sure that they still have their wallet or whatever, and therefore it's something that they know right away that they lost, and since it has no identifying mark, we assume they gave up hope. So something that people know right away is lost, and it's something that they have no identifying mark, then you can assume also people gave up hope. If you find money in the street, you can keep it, under most circumstances, unless we'll see if there's some identifying mark in the place where it was, or in the way that it's wrapped, or the amount of money was in a pile, and the amount could be an identifying sin. Another case where you're allowed to keep the thing is where it's not only lost for him, it's lost for everybody. So a flood came and carried things away, where it's lost to everybody. Something fell into deep water, so it's impossible to get unless you hire a diver or something like that, and people don't usually do that. Then it's, even if the person says that he hasn't given up hope, it's considered ownerless. Famous Shilas that came up after the war, right? People's property was taken by the Nazis. And once it was taken, it was ownerless. And even if later on they found it or whatever, really it doesn't belong to the people who had it taken away. Anybody can take it. Because once it was taken away by an enemy or something like that, the chances of getting it back were nil. And therefore, the people, even if they didn't give up hope, it's like they gave up hope. Another situation. If you know for sure that the lost article belongs to a non-Jew, you are not required to go to the bother of returning lost articles to non-Jews. However, if by not returning it, there'll be a Chilul Hashem, right, the non-Jew will know that you found it, and you're Jewish, and you didn't return it to him, right, and it'll be a desecration of God's name. Or you know that if you do return it, you can make a Kiddush Hashem. That the non-Jew will respect the fact that, wow, a Jew returned this because Jews are upright people, then there's a mitzvah to return it. If the non-Jew will never know that you found it, there will be no Chilul Hashem and no Kiddush Hashem, then you have no responsibility to return it. Okay. Another situation where you're exempt from returning a lost article, Zokein ve'eino l'tich vodo. That means somebody respectable who would be beneath his dignity to either take this object because of its lowly nature or because where it is. For instance, very respectable person walking down the street and he sees something under somebody's car. Right? He's not going to go and creep under the car. It's not not dignified for him to do that. How do you know if it's dignified or not? So the rabbis say, would he get his own thing? if his own similar thing would be in that situation, if he would crawl down and get it, then he has to do it for somebody else too. If he would leave it there and not get it, because it's undignified for him, and it's even his own object, then he's not required to do it for somebody else either. In a place where nobody sees, right, it's out in the middle of nowhere, nobody's going to see him crawl under the car, then he has to return it too. But in a place where either because of the object itself, see somebody's chicken running around, right, the Ramosha Feinstein, to see him walking through the street carrying a chicken would not be dignified, wouldn't be covered at all. So he doesn't have to return somebody's chicken. Or he doesn't have to crawl under somebody's car to get their lost article. But if it's in a place where nobody sees, right, he can crawl under the car and nobody will see, then it's not undignified to do for him, then he has to do that too. Okay, now, how do you return a lost article? How does somebody come and claim it? So there has to be simonim. Simonim are identifying marks. Okay? There are different kinds of simonim. There are simonim mufakim, that means very good identifying marks, something in the object itself that makes it different than any other object like that, something unique, right? And you can identify it because of its unique markings or whatever. Then there are things that are pretty much generic, right? All of them look the same, but the number of them would be an identifying mark. You found four of them together, right? And they were connected together or whatever, so you know, that's an identifying mark. The if it's something that's sold by weight or by length, width, or whatever, then the measurement, the weight, would be an identifying mark. Or sometimes the place is an identifying mark. I found it in such and such a place. It was left there, wouldn't get kicked around or whatever, so the place where the person lost it, he can come and say, I lost such a thing in this and this place. Something that has no identifying mark. So here is the famous case of Yiyush Shalom Midas, okay, which is usually the first Gemara that children learn when they get into the age of learning Gemara, Bava Metzia. And if you ever helped your kids with their homework, you probably came across this Gemara, Yiyush Shalom Midas, Abaye and Rava. In any case, Yiyush Shalom Midas means the following. Something that if the person would know it's lost, he definitely would give up hope of ever finding it, because it has no identifying marks. But it's possible he doesn't know yet that it's lost. He lost something, he doesn't know it's lost. So he can't give up hope because he doesn't know it's lost. There, if you find it before he gave up hope, you still have to hold on to it and hope that maybe someday the guy will come to claim it, right? Or wait till Eliyahu HaNavi comes, right? You have to hold on to it. If you didn't take it until you know for sure he gave up hope, then you can keep it. But if you took it and it's possible he hasn't given up hope yet, and you're holding it for him, right, until he, and he hasn't given up hope, then the halacha is that you must hold on to it and return it. Okay, there's a question whether you have to pick it up to begin with. If you have something that's not, has no identifying marks, and it's not sure whether the person's given up hope yet, meaning does he know that he lost it or not? If he knows he lost it, he gave up hope. If he doesn't know he lost it, he can't give up hope yet. So the question is, does he know he lost it or not? And it's not clear. Then, according to some, you do not have to pick it up, you just leave it there. According to others, you have to pick it up and either find the owner some way or hold on to it till Eliyahu HaNavi, till Mashiach comes. Okay. And halachically, you can rely on that opinion that if you don't know if the person knows that he lost it, and therefore you don't know if he's given up hope, but there is no identifying mark, like we said, things that have no identity, they all look the same, and there's no identifying marks on it, then you can just leave it there and not get involved. But once you pick it up, then you're stuck with it. Okay, now, once you find this lost article, comes the next halacha. You have to protect it, watch it, that it doesn't get lost, stolen, ruined. Okay, if it needs to be aired every once in a while, otherwise it'll get moldy, then you have to air it. Whatever it may be, you find cloth or clothing, and if you don't put it in an aired place, it's going to get moldy, ruined, or whatever, you have to watch it, or whatever. You have the din, possibly of a shomer chinam, possibly of a shomer sachar. A shomer chinam is a person who watches something and doesn't get paid for it. He is liable if he's negligent. He's not liable if the thing gets lost or stolen, through his negligence. A shomer sachar, someone who gets paid to watch something, he's liable if it gets lost or stolen too, and if it's negligence, okay? But he's not liable if an accident happens, okay? It's a question whether a person who's watching somebody else's aved is a shomer sacher or a shomer fina. It would make sense to say that he is not getting paid for this. He's watching it for free. So he shouldn't be liable if it gets lost or stolen. The logic that he's considered a shomer sacher is that while he's watching it and involved in watching it, if somebody comes to the door for tzedakah, he doesn't have to give. Because he's involved in one mitzvah, he doesn't have to get involved in another mitzvah. So if answering the door and giving the tzedakah would take him away from watching this lost article, he's not required. So he saved some money. So that's considered pay. The money he saved from not having to give tzedakah while he's watching the thing, right, which would conflict with his ability to go and give this tzedakah, that's considered pay. It's not clear, halachically, if he is a shomer sacher or a shomer chinam. And therefore, the halacha is that if he was negligent, he definitely has to pay the owner. If the owner ever comes to get it, he has to pay him for it. If it was stolen or lost, he doesn't have to pay. But if the other person grabbed the money, he can keep it. Okay. You're not allowed to use the lost article. You have to watch him. You can't use it. If now the person knows who lost it, okay, he doesn't have to deliver it to the owner. He has to notify the owner that he has it, and the owner has to come and pick it up. I don't have to have a delivery service to deliver people's lost articles to them. I have to let them know, and they have a responsibility to come and pick it up. Okay. If I don't know who the owner is, so then I have a mitzvah to announce that I found such a lost article in a place that possibly the owner will see the announcement. And the place that people usually congregate, or people see and they tell other people, is in shul. So I have to put up a notice on the bulletin board of the shul in the immediate area, not all the shuls in the country, just the shul in the immediate area closest to where I found the thing. And hopefully somebody will see that sign on the bulletin board. I have to leave it there for an amount of time that is reasonable, that people will see it. Leave it for a week, 2 weeks, whatever. If it was found in a simcha hall, in a matnas, and I put it up on the bulletin board of the place where I found it. Okay. And hopefully the person who lost it there will come to find out if anybody put up a notice that he found something in this place. You don't have to pay to make this to return a lost article. You don't have to outlay money for that, and therefore you don't have to put notices in the newspaper if it costs money. But if there are newspapers that do this as a service, then you are required to put a notice in the newspaper if it's for free. Okay. What? Right, or whatever. Right. Today, you post it for free. And also, however, even though you don't have to spend money to return a lost article, if it means wasting time from learning Torah, you do have to waste the time. Because any mitzvah that you have to do takes precedence over learning Torah. Okay. Okay, now, let's say you have a place, a hospital, an IADO, or a school, or whatever, or you have an office, doctor's office, or whatever, and people leave things there all the time, okay? And things that usually you don't want, right? They don't leave money, usually, okay? In any case, no, what's it called? They leave their scarves, their gloves, their, right, umbrellas, right? So you can put up a sign that says, anything left here over 30 days, or over 10 days, or whatever, right, will be automatically hefker, and we will be able to do anything we want with it. So anybody who comes there understands that if they leave something there, even by accident, then they're there on that condition. So that's what we advise usually schools to do. Our moshav has a sign, has to be put up in a place where everybody can see it, in the waiting room, and whatever. And if you have such a sign, then after 30 days, you can keep all these lost articles and do nothing with them. Okay. Yeah. I hear. You could also give it into the police department if you know that they will deal with it honestly and return it to the person who claims it. Okay. If you leave it on a bus, if you find it on a bus, you can give it into the lost and found department of the bus company also. I hear. Okay. I hear. That's pretty close to halacha too. But not 100%, because any place. Okay. Now let's move this in order. I'll get to the buses and the taxis and stores. Find something in a store, whatever. Something that you have to keep hold on and watch until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Right, and nobody's coming to claim it. So then the following is, if it's something that'll get ruined if you hold on to it, right, it's fruit that you found, a basket of fruit. If you hold it till Eliyahu comes, there won't be any more fruit. So then you can assess the value of the thing, right? If it's something that has a regular market value, then there's no problem. If it's something that needs to be assessed, then you should ask three people who know prices or whatever, what they assess the value. You should write down all of the identifying marks, and then you can either take it for yourself or sell it and hold on to the money, right? Or if the person comes, give him the value. Same thing goes, even if it's something that won't get ruined, but it's something that is easily replaceable. Something that is generic, a pen. Not a one-of-a-kind pen, it's a dime a dozen kind of pens. Find a pen like that, write down the identifying marks, you can take it, use it for yourself, figure out about what it's worth in the two shekel store, and what's it called, write it down that if anybody will ever come to claim it, you'll give them the value of that pen. If it's something that's unique, that's not, what's it called, easily replaceable, then you have to hold on to the article until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Put it away somewhere safe, and hold on to it until somebody may come to claim it. And if they don't come to claim it, Eliyahu HaNavi will take care of it. What? Yeah, even that. Yeah, same status. Yeah, but you found it before he gave up. And the giving up doesn't help unless, what? You don't know. So when you're not sure, also that's called Yushalomidas. Right? It's only when you're sure the person gave up before you took it, that you're allowed to keep it. If you're not sure, or you're sure that he didn't, then you can never keep it. Okay, let's say you find it in somebody's store. Okay? So if it's in a place where a lot of people are walking, in the regular, what's it called, aisles of the store, so then, what's it called, does not belong to the store owner. Because there's such traffic there that anybody could pick it up, or whatever, his domain doesn't acquire it for him, and anybody who finds it, if it's something you can keep it. Or if it's something that you found, it's his responsibility, the person who found it, to return it, not the storekeeper's. If it's in a place where only the storekeeper has access, behind the counter or something, that's where you found it, then it belongs to the storekeeper. If it's something that he can keep it. If it's something he has to return, it's his responsibility to return it. And the same thing goes if you found it in somebody's house, which is only they have access, then it belongs to them. Or it's their responsibility to return, not the person who was visiting their house and found this lost article. Another thing that's common, you go to a simcha, and your hat gets taken by somebody else, and they leave you their hat. Or your raincoat gets taken, and somebody else's raincoat is there that they took yours by mistake. Right? Or whatever. Okay? So then, the halacha really is that you're not allowed to use the one that you got by mistake, okay? And you have to return it to the original owner. You have to find out and hold on to it until you can return it to the original owner. You have to. Okay. However, the Sfarim say that today, people usually don't care if such a thing happens that you use their thing. Okay? People are mochel. It's understood that if you take somebody else's umbrella, you can use it, and you let them use yours until you can switch, and if you never switch, so that's okay. Since that is understood, that people don't care, right, they let other people use their things, then you're allowed to, what's it called, to use it, and that's how Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Orach HaShulchan, all say that that is the case. Okay, those are a brief overview of the halachas. Now let's go to some philosophical ideas. What's the what's the idea behind this mitzvah? Why did the Torah give us a mitzvah to return lost articles? The Sefer HaChinuch says that this is a mitzvah that helps to support and promote society. A healthy society is where people care about other people's monetary things, and then society can function. If people don't care about other people's things, and people lose things, and they have no chance of ever getting it back, then there's a breakdown of society. In order for there to be a functioning society, people have to be concerned about other people's monetary things also, and that way you help me, I help you, and society can function in a natural way. Okay? And that way there can be unity. So this mitzvah promotes unity amongst people. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch learns. The Eish L'Avraham says just the opposite. Since the Jewish people are unified, are one being, okay, and we are intermingled one with the other, we're all one soul, with just different bodies, so therefore, if somebody loses something, and it bothers them, right, because they lost their something of theirs, then I have to feel that pain, and I have to want to alleviate, just as much as if I lost it, I would want to alleviate my pain by finding it, I have to help someone else alleviate their pain, because that's also part of my pain. So the Sefer HaChinuch says that this mitzvah promotes unity. And the Eish L'Avraham says that this mitzvah is a result of unity. The Abarbanel says that this mitzvah also has another positive effect. It helps to invoke and feelings of mercy and care and sensitivity to other people. If I have to go through the motions of returning other people's lost articles, it helps to arouse within me feelings of caring, sensitivity, and for other people. Right? That's another reason for this mitzvah. Another idea the Rikanti says, or Rikanati, whichever, says that since people's money are very precious to them, right, almost as much as their body, as their life, and some people even more than their life, right? Remember, Jack Benny used to have a thing where somebody comes, puts a gun to his head, your money or your life? In silence. He says, okay, I'm thinking, what's it called? And the truth is that the rabbis say that tzaddikim value their money more than their life. Right? Their money is more precious to them. And we explained once the idea. A tzaddik understands that his money was given to him. Every material possession he has was given to him to be used as a vessel, as a utensil, as a means to serve God. And his body was also given to him to serve God. What's more precious to a person that he puts more effort into? How much effort do you have to put into securing your body? Zero. It was a birthday present on your first birthday. Right? Here's a body, enjoy it. So that's no effort. How much effort do you have to put into using your body? A lot. How much effort do you have to put into maintaining your body? A lot. So out of three possible efforts, securing, maintaining, and using, only two of them apply to the body. How about material possessions? If you don't steal, you have to put a lot of effort into securing material possessions. You have to put effort into maintaining them and into using them. So it has three efforts. So which is more precious? Both of them are means to serve God with. Okay? The one that involves more effort is more precious. So a tzaddik, his money is more precious than his body. That's what the rabbis mean in my estimation. And therefore, since when people lose their money, it really affects them in a negative way, so I have to want to save someone from that frustration and that ill feeling by returning their lost articles. Rabbeinu Bachya has a more esoteric idea. He says that returning lost articles to people in this world is a hint to God returning our souls that are lost to us when we die. If we want God to resurrect us by Tchias HaNeithin, then if we return lost articles to people in this world, God will return our lost article to us in the next world, our soul which is lost when we die. The Eitz HaChaim says, there's another esoteric idea. We have a lot of things we lost, the Beis HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael, a lot of things that have been lost to the Jewish people over the years. We want God to return those lost things to us. So if we return physical lost things to our neighbors, that will help to give God the incentive to want to return our lost things to the Jewish people. Now, there are other things that are included in this mitzvah that are not regularly just taking a lost article and going through the motions of returning it. One of them is to return a person's soul. That doesn't mean resurrect the dead. It means the following. Somebody is estranged from Yiddishkeit, or they never knew about their heritage, so it's lost to them. So it's a mitzvah of kiruv rechokim, being the karev people, teaching them about Judaism, bringing them back to Judaism, is a mitzvah of hashavas aveda. You're returning their lost article. They've lost their heritage. Either they've lost it, what's it called, in a way because they never had it, or they lost it because of lack of faith or things that happen. There's a mitzvah to return it to them. So, kiruv rechokim, giving people mussar, teaching them, is a mitzvah of hashavas aveda. You're returning their lost article. Right? People, everybody learned Torah before they were born. Then they lost it. So teaching them Torah helps return the lost article to them. Another thing that's included in this, medical, refuah, healing people. If you have the expertise to know how to heal someone and they're sick, you're returning their health to them. That's no less a lost article than a wallet. Their health is lost. So if you have the expertise to be able to heal them, that means not only if you're a doctor, because certain things you don't need the expertise to be a doctor, right? Let's say somebody has a headache and you have aspirin and he doesn't have any aspirin. So to sell him the aspirin or even give it to him, right, is a mitzvah hashavas aveda. You're returning his health, right? Or you know that for this thing, this is what's good to take. By telling him, you are fulfilling the mitzvah, returning a lost article, returning his health. Most certainly, if you're a doctor, this halacha applies to you specifically. Another thing. What? Is it for free? Really, a doctor has to administer to patients for free. But he can charge for the education that he got, right, that he had to pay in order to be able to do this. Okay, so a doctor really can't, or he can charge for the time that he could have been doing something else. Okay. Another thing, people are lost. So they're lost. Returning them to themselves, putting them back on the right road, giving direction. Somebody stops you in the middle of the street and says, how do I get to Laniado? Right, giving them directions is hashavas aveda. You're returning a lost article because they're lost. They don't know how to get where they're going. Giving directions or giving a person, finding a person who's lost, wandering around, and setting him on the right path is hashavas aveda. Okay, and therefore, somebody asks you directions, you should give directions, not the Israeli style, yashar, yashar. Not everything in this country is straight, right? There are definitely times you have to turn, right? Right, right. So there's a mitzvah to give directions, yeah? There's difference of opinion. Some say that if by not giving the directions, the person is going to wander around and be Machal Shabbos more. If he knows where he's going, he'll get there faster and do less Chil Shabbos, then you should give him the directions. If by giving him directions, right, you are aiding his Chil Shabbos, then what you should say is the following. I would love to give you directions, but it's Shabbos today. I can't be a partner to your Chil Shabbos. Even though you don't understand that and you don't care, right? I can't help you do something that I think is wrong, right? If most of the time, if you don't give the person directions, they probably will wander around and be Machal Shabbos more. You can rely on that opinion that you can give them directions. Where would you have the conversation? Somebody, you're walking along the street and somebody honks and says, hey, how do you get to whatever? I hear, but all mitzvahs, people get some satisfaction also, but the more you do it, the Shem Shemayim, the more of a mitzvah it is. Okay, but even selfish things that help other people are also a mitzvah.
You know the way to get there, you tell
again, if it won't cause him to be Mechalel Shabbos more, so there's no heter to help him, then you can say, yeah, I don't know. I don't know means, right now I don't know because I'm not allowed to tell you. So it's not really a lie. Another thing, saving a person from loss, danger, right? Any kind of loss, any kind of danger is part of Hashavas Adin. It doesn't have to be the person lost the thing. If you save him from losing it, right? There's a flood coming and you build a dike to stop the flood. So you're preventing that person from losing things because of the flood. That's a mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda. And the Shari Tshuva says there's a mitzvah for people who have expertise in various areas that they can save people from losses or whatever, whether it's financial things, hatsala, zaka, right, people who give advice, psychologists, social workers, or whatever. Aside from the parnasa you get from it, there's a mitzvah involved. Giving people advice and saving them from all different kinds of losses, right, whether they're physical, material, spiritual, emotional losses, they're all real losses. And all of that is part of this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean? Right. Yeah, there is a more negative kind of thing. There, you're not allowed to put an obstacle in front of somebody and cause them harm. Here, if I don't cause you any harm, then I don't have any transgression of that. Here, I have a chiyuv to go out of my way to save you from harm. It's a different thing. Sometimes not. Sometimes I'm not going to cause you any harm if I keep quiet, right? But here, I could save you from harm. Right? I'm not causing you the harm. The harm's already done. You lost the thing, right? So that I have to go out of my way to do something. Since it's Elul, okay, I want to connect this to preparing for Rosh Hashanah, this mitzvah of returning a lost article. First of all, we all have lost articles that we lose during the year, right? Our tshuva, mitzvahs, averas, to a certain degree, we are lost souls over the year. So as a mitzvah, return to your soul the things that it lost over the year by doing averas, by not doing mitzvahs, by wasting time, right? So this is the lost and found department of the year, Elul. To prepare for Rosh Hashanah, that we return to ourselves the things that we've lost, and sometimes lost on purpose during the year. And it's very important because we're going to come on Rosh Hashanah and we're going to ask God to give us for this coming year physical things, material things, spiritual things. And if God says, what I gave you last year, you dealt with in a very capricious way, negligent way, and you lost it all, right, or a good portion of it, why should I give you more? Right? You didn't care for it. You didn't watch it. You didn't guard it. So if during Elul we show God that we really care, and we're trying to reclaim some of those things we lost during the year and make it up, then we have a better chance of asking for more for the coming year, because we show God that even though 11 of the months we maybe were a little negligent, but in theory, right, we would like to be careful with these things. Another thing that this, since the one of the ideas behind this mitzvah is to feel one with the community, right? Everybody is united, and therefore I have to worry about your money as much as you have to worry about my money, and we have to worry about our own money, because we're all one entity. That is something that is very important to think about and to inculcate before Rosh Hashanah. Because what is the motif of Rosh Hashanah? Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. We're accepting for the new year God's kingdom. Now God's kingdom means God's one and His kingdom is one. So all His servants unite under Him. So if you want to really make God the king over the whole world, you have to feel one with the world. You have to be part of that empire, part of that kingdom. So the more you feel one with other people, the more you're preparing for Rosh Hashanah. But there's another idea. And that is, as individuals, it's very difficult for people to really merit on their own as an individual. Because everybody has their shortcomings. But when you're part with other people, then you get their merit too, and they get your merit. And the negative things cancel out. So being part of a tzibur is a great source, it's a merit, it's a protection for Rosh Hashanah, for the Yom HaDin. There's another aspect also, and that is, the more that other people need you, and you benefit them, then God won't punish you, because by punishing you, he's punishing other people. Example, let's say you always help a person who is poor, a widow, or whatever, you always help her out, okay? And nobody else is there ready to help her. And you did something wrong this year, and you really deserve to be punished. You deserve to get sick and be laid up for months, okay? That's what you deserve. But when God reviews your case, he says, if I lay this person up for months, what's going to happen to that poor widow? She doesn't deserve that people shouldn't be there to help her. So you're going to get clemency because somebody else needs you. And the more people that need you, the more clemency you'll get. So the fact that you're a person, shahat shibur, tzrichinlo, right? Somebody who other people need, and if the community needs you, is even better, then that in itself is a very positive thing when it comes to the new year. Okay, and therefore we should be zoche. Okay, we have a few minutes, we're not going to have time to go to the, what I wanted to do the other one. We'll try to pick something from the parasha. But in any case, this year I was thinking, Tavshin Samech Hey, and then I saw somebody already said it, I don't know, before me or after me, but somebody said the same thing, is Tehei Shona Sof Shnas Sof HaGolus. This should be the end, the year that's the end of Golus, Tavshin Samech Hey. I saw somebody already beat me to the draw that one of these Shabbos parasha things also said it already. In any case, so that is the mitzvah of returning lost articles. That's just the mitzvah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, just wait. So when I add one thing, I'm going to remember right there. There's another thing you don't have to return. Two more things that I didn't mention. One is Aveva Midas. If somebody deals with his thing in a way that he doesn't care, he ruins it himself. Right? Somebody leaves a glass pitcher in the middle of the highway, you don't have to return it to him. Because obviously he doesn't care. Okay. Right, well, whatever. Right. Even if you happen to pass by 4 o'clock in the morning and nobody else is around, but if he left it there before that, right, that's called Aveda Midas. Or if, what's it called, I think we said that, if it's Avuda Minenu Mikol Adam, right, if it's something that's in a place where no one can get it under normal circumstances, right, a hurricane comes and takes it away, then you don't have to, it's Hefker, automatically. Okay, now. Right.
The reality is, in Israel, when you have a shoe, how do you deal with negative commandments and not picking it up because you're afraid of them?
Okay, probably what you have to do is the following. I mean, if it's obvious that it's not a chet, it's chashuv, right? Something it couldn't be, or somebody's jacket, that's probably not booby-trapped, okay? But I remember when I first came to Eretz Israel, before this became, you know, and we're all Americans, so I took a group of school kids, second, third graders, to the coastal. And all of a sudden, there's what's it called, you know, I see that everybody's away from the coastal, just us, we're there, the only ones there. Please come over and say, what are you doing, what's it called, there's a chefetz chashud, and everybody off to the side. And we're standing there, and I see it's one of the kids' briefcases. Our kids just left it there in the middle of the thing as a second grader and caused such a ruckus at the thing. I was a little embarrassed to say, that's why one of my kids, it wasn't my kid, it was one of the kids in the Moshav, his briefcases. But in the end, we went over and told him the kid left the briefcase. So it was a sigh of relief at the same time, very much anger that, you know, why don't you watch what you're doing and not cause all this trouble. But this crazy Americans, right? That was the feeling we got. In any case, but so if it's something that could be a chetetz chashud, then halachically, since it could be a sakana, so the first thing you have to do is report it, right? And then after they've ascertained that it's not dangerous, if they haven't blown it up, right? Then you have a mitzvah to take it and return it. Okay. But enichanami, the sakana takes precedence over the mitzvah, and therefore you have to treat it as if it's possible that danger, report it, and then after everything is done, right, if they haven't destroyed it, then you can have. I once asked an elderly woman who was standing in front of me in line in the airport to watch my suitcase for a minute because I had to go get an electronic ticket. And I thought it would take me a minute. It took me about a half an hour to get the ticket. And the plane was, you know, very shortly going to take off. I run back. The lady's not there. My suitcase is not there. I immediately assumed the lady stole my suitcase. So I went over to the guard and I said, I had somebody watching my suitcase and she's not here and my suitcase. Is that your suitcase? You better run outside because I'm ready to blow it up. And when I didn't come back in 20 minutes and I said I'd be right back, the woman thought I was a terrorist. I had left her with a bomb in my suitcase and she was going to blow up. So she called over the guard, reported that a terrorist left a suitcase with her who didn't come back. And they took it out, so I was ready to blow it up. Meanwhile, till I finally got it, and they didn't blow it up, I missed the plane. I was going to South Africa. I missed the plane, and had to wait the next day to end up going there, missing a few shiurim. I never found that lady either. In any case, so this could complicate returning lost articles or watching other people's things. But the security considerations take precedence over everything else. Okay.